written songs from my own life.
Recording in progress.
I've always written songs from my own life, but life's always been good, to be honest with you. It's been like it's been an amazing journey. I've had some pain, I've had some struggle, but nothing like this. So I guess I just continued to write songs out of my life and out of the things I was experiencing, but it's just different now. And it's because I've been through something that I never thought I would walk through, it through a valley I never thought I'd walk through. So yeah, I have learned, in answer to your question, that it is a way to process. It is a way to walk through something that tears you up inside. Well, when Truett passed, I didn't really know what I was doing. I just wrote the song 21 Years as a tribute to my son, not for my own grief at all, but as a tribute to my son, my beautiful son. And I wanted the world to know how amazing he was. So I wrote that song 21 Years because I look at those 21 years as a gift from God that I got to keep him for 21 years. God trusted me with him. And then I began this journey, writing songs, writing a few sad songs, really sad songs. And I just thought I'll probably never write another up-tempo song. You know, I just didn't think I would. And I was, you know, upset with God from time to time, walking through this, questioning him, trying my best to land on trusting him and his plan, but struggling a little. And then I just thought, well, you know, at that point, I thought I'll never write an up-tempo song. There's just no way. It's not in me because just sad songs were coming out. I wrote a song called Everything About You with my daughter. And I wrote a song called Faithfully. And I wrote Promised Land. And all of them were down-tempo, sort of heartbreaking. But the thing is, what I was beginning to learn is that although God doesn't always take our pain away, he doesn't promise that we won't experience pain. He promises that he'll be there with us in it. And he was faithful to that for me. Well, thank you, first of all. I would say I wrote those three songs that were really sad. And then the first glimpse I got was I was still like reading my Bible every day because I thought, well, I believe this. I've believed it my whole life. I will continue to believe this. And I kind of was like, God, you better show me. I kind of went out on a limb and said, you better show me something. I need to see something. I need to know. And I pushed really hard against him and begged him to like show me that he's there for me, that he's real. And in those times I was reading the whole Bible, and it was supposed to take me a year, but it took me 2.5. But in that moment I was in Isaiah and I read the scripture that said, it said, God is rolling up his sleeves. And I was like, wow, what a promise. What imagery. Just think of God rolling up his sleeves on my behalf. And so I wrote this song, Help Is On The Way. And it actually was the first thing I wrote. I said, well, this is up tempo. This isn't joyful, but it's brewing and intense, but it is up tempo. It's not a sad ballad. And I thought, whoa, it's something I literally never thought I would do again. And then I started, something interesting happened. I actually started believing in my heart that help is on the way. It's like this scripture through this song I wrote started ministering to me, and I started believing that. And along a few months later, along comes the goodness, which not only is up tempo, but is full of joy and hope. And I wrote on a napkin one day at a restaurant. I like to write lyrics a lot of times in public places where I can see humanity, but they're not looking at me. Restaurant, writing alone, and I just wrote the line, "You're still the goodness in my life," and it turned out to be this song, "The Goodness." I read a quote too that pushed me further. It said, "A saint is not someone who is good, but someone who has experienced the goodness of God." And though everything's not perfect and my life is very different and I'll never be the same, I have, before and after my son passing, experienced the goodness of God, and I still do. I don't think I did. I mean, I think because just a few days after to have passed, I wanted to express in 21 years, I wanted to express how amazing he was. So I immediately turned to pouring out lyric and pouring out what was in my heart, pouring out adoration for my son. Like, so I think it just, maybe if I wouldn't have written that song right away as a tribute, maybe I would have been stuck a little, but I wasn't, because I think I immediately turned to what I do, write lyrics, but in a way that just lifts somebody up that I love dearly. Yeah, that came a little later. I have this whole journey of these sad songs to this scripture of help is on the way to the goodness. And it's like this journey that I just kind of explained to you. That was like the beginning of it all. And then when I wrote the goodness, just some other thoughts began pouring through. A little more, even though I will continue to say I'll never be the same man, a few more like normal kind of the way Toby writes songs started coming. And I thought about this thing, you know, space that gets between us in our relationships. And I know, you know, there's people out there that still wonder, like, does DC talk to each other? Are they friends? Do they hate each other? Well, we text all the time, like often. I don't get to see him that much because they're running, I'm running, but we text often. We text probably three times, at least twice this week. And I think people just imagine that we don't like each other or something, but we do. But space has come between us. Family time and touring. And we climbed a mountain together out of college, out of university. And now we're climbing three different mountains. So the luxury of just being together isn't there anymore. So this space comes between you. And sometimes it's for a good reason, and other times you just, life takes you in different places. So I wanted to write this song about space coming between us, and I started down the line, and I looked up, and I didn't even know it, honestly. I looked up, and I go, am I writing about DC Talk? Like, am I writing about Michael and Kevin and our relationships and this distance that has just come between us? And, you know, and then, as you know, when I looked at the first lines, you know, I've replayed it like 1,000 times. I reminded in my head, you could tell me that I lost my mind. You could tell me that, or what I should have done. I'm like, I really am. But I didn't set out for it to be autobiographical, but it ended up moving in that direction. And then I asked them if they would sing on it. And at first they were like, does it make sense for us to do something together again without us doing a full thing? And I'm like, it's up to you. And I sent them the song. And when they both heard the song, they both got back and said, this makes perfect sense. Some of my favorite lines in the song are, and some of these lines are my favorite on the record, but would you step across the party line? Would you meet me in my cold cell? Would you step across the party line? Would you meet me in my cold cell? What's the next line? Step across the party line. Would you walk into my cold cell? Oh, I can't remember it. This is terrible. But the last line is, would you meet me at the well? And I just think, wow, that's what we as believers are supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be stepping across lines and loving people well. We're not supposed to be drawing lines. You know, I mean, we're supposed to be stepping across them and loving people. And then the whole outro of the song, just the most convicting line, I think one of the more convicting lines in the Word of God, in my opinion, are love keeps no record. Love keeps no record of wrong. Love keeps no record. Love keeps no record of wrong. And I just repeat that line over and over, the three of us. And it's like, no matter what comes between us, there's always room for reconciliation when love is present. I think it should be turning eyes to the King. You know, when I walk in to write a song or a record or an interview, I just say, God, breathe something through me that would turn eyes to you. I don't want people leaving an arena with the name Toby Mac on their lips. That will get them nowhere. I want them to leave that arena with the name Jesus on their lips. And that is my heart's cry. And that's why I make music, honestly. Many, Larry Norman, Stephen Curtis Chapman, Bono, U2, I guess. I think Bob Marley in an interesting way. I know he doesn't believe the way we believe, but he spoke out, and he was the voice of the people to a government that was hard on him, and he spoke of his faith and what his life was about. He put music right in the arena with it was his voice, you know, to the people. And I just think there's something special about that. He was talking about spiritual things and political things in the midst of a song that was melodically enticing and inviting. And I think, man, that's kind of our job, isn't it? Now, ours would be for the King of Kings, the King of Glory. His was for his God, whatever job. But I'm just saying, like, he inspired me the way he did that, the way his feet were on the ground, but his voice was loud, and he used melody in a supreme way. But yeah, Michael W. Smith taking Three Little Punks, me, Mike, and Kevin on tour so long ago when he didn't need to, he didn't have to, but we weren't helping him pull people into the arena, but he just kind of liked us. So he took us out, and one thing led to another. And then, you know, even people like Oswald Chambers is a great author, you know, who always encouraged me to give up the right to myself. Give up the right. That's that. When I think about my utmost ties, all I hear is give up your right to yourself. Give up your right to yourself. Give up your right to yourself. And then, you know, Michael and Kevin, who really taught me how to use my voice. I'll never deny that. I always include them in people that inspired me, because you know, I was just the rapper of the DC Talk band. I was the guy that was, I saw a man with a dot on his big fat belly. He wiggled around like mama later. Like, and then Michael and Kevin and I, the way they used their voices, the way they sang different tones and different, different passionate in different ways, screaming or soft or warm and gentle. It made me think I could use my voice to do anything I want. I'm not limited. I sang growing up. I sang a little in DC Talk, but I've learned to use my voice, and it's almost like I'm still in this beautiful land of discovery. I'm still discovering how to use my voice in different ways. So it's still so exciting to make songs. Thank you. Yep. Oh, Sade. You know who that is? Arthur? Sade. This is no ordinary love. Yeah, that's Sade. Come on. Oh, nice, Arthur. Me and you are the same. I love Australian people for that reason. The fact that that question was asked. Do you know not one American person has asked me about that song? Do you know no one's even mentioned that song to me? It flew under the radar so badly because it was too real. People don't want to talk about the hard things. They want Christian music to be positive and encouraging. They don't want to talk about the hard things that are the embarrassing things for us as people of faith, the things where we've misrepresented our King. I've misrepresented our King. And I think we have to talk about those things. We have to realize that we're called to something deeper. Can I tell you just a little bit about that song really quickly? When I was in Israel and a guy that was my guide there, my wife and I went, and as he was on the mount with his Sermon on the Mount was supposedly spoken over the people, he just was talking to us like just telling us about, yeah, this is blah, 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 and then he just went into it, memorized. He just did the whole Sermon on the Mount right in front of us. And that's when I wrote that song, because I realized, wow, we have strayed far away from what the King was asking of us. We have strayed so far away. And it just led me to writing, I'm sorry. Thank you. Wow. Well, Michael, Kevin and I, you know, that was hard, but it did come quickly. I mean, not really, because we were in university doing it for several years, you know, hitting up every youth group in sight, trying to let us do four songs in front of their 30 kids. I mean, we worked really hard at it. And Tate was amazing at booking shows. He's amazing. And he taught me all that stuff. Michael taught me so much back in the day. I didn't even know what I was doing. I was a little university student. And he was in music already. Anyway, I think post-COVID, I felt ready to go. Like, you know, I had written a bunch of songs, and I felt, although my life completely changed in that moment, I had things to say, and I was ready to share them with the world and ready to. And it also gave me a lot of time with the King, a lot of time with the Lord to sit in his word. And so I felt ready. I felt a sense of purpose and calling, maybe deeper than I had before. So I would say PC Talk was harder than post-COVID. I think, yep. I always walked with the Lord, but I think because those things, Truett's passing and COVID, kind of lined up a little bit, very close. And I think I just, I learned life at home, and I learned that sometimes life on the road, time spent with the King can get away from you a little bit. So I learned that waking up and getting that time has become really, really important to me. I fight for it now like I never have before. And, you know, I would read my Bible at night or whatever, but I just think in the morning, and I'm not trying to be some old school preacher, but in the morning, if you get that time, it extends through your day. That's what I love. Okay, I'll make my answer shorter. Sorry. I had a lot of collaborations on this record, and I always wanted to do a song with Torrin Wells. He's my worked close friends, so it was nice to get him in. Zach Williams stepped up and crushed it, slam dunk. I think maybe a dream of mine would be, hey, why not Sade on a collaboration? I do think she has an incredible voice. I think, you know, man, I hate to drop the obvious name, but I mean, Lauren Daigle's voice is just really, really special. Let's be honest. It's incredible. I reached out to her in the middle of COVID about maybe doing a song, and they were up for it, but it didn't pan out. But I would love, honestly, I hate to name like the biggest artist in our industry right now, but her voice is just so phenomenal. Like, it's so special. And then what was the other part of that question? Sorry. Oh, favorite song. I think probably my favorite song is Everything About You, because I did it with my daughter. It's the first time we've done a song together, and it's just kind of, I love how warm it is. It's all live strings and live horns, and it's just real music to me. I agree. I almost said it, but I was like, I don't want to act foolish and say that, but we can say that. Pop them in. I'll go over time. I'll go over time if you need me.
Oh, you were so lovely. It was really lovely. You just happy to stop and chat for like 5 minutes with a guy just geeking out about his dad. So,
Yep. No, we're good. Keep moving. No problem. Did you hear that question? Did you hear my answer to Aaron? Oh, yeah, I was just saying, you know, Truett loved people, and I know he still does where he is right now. He just loved people, and he appreciated them from wherever they came from. I could tell you 100 stories about how he reached out to people that others neglected to reach out to. I mean, he knew how to love. He loved hard. So thank you for saying that, Aaron. Yeah. I took God to task a little. And I said, now wait a second. You're going to let this happen in my life. And I said, I'm going to give you a chance. I'm going to give you a chance to show me that you're good. And I didn't walk away. I trusted him and I tried it, but I asked him to show me that he's good. And I can only tell you this, that he's kind. He met me in the deepest, deepest of valleys, and he didn't take the pain away, but he never left me. That's life after death. Please, let's do it. Please, I'm begging you. I want to go there. I want to be there. Thank you, guys, and thank you for being interested in what God is breathing through me. I pray blessings on you and pray that this record would turn people's eyes to our King. Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Thanks, yeah, Laura. Really. Job thanks, well done. Laura. Appreciate it.
Great job.
See you guys, everybody. Bye.
Yeah, good one.